Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 26th para, the 26th juz was recited, starting off with Surah Al-Ahqaf. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that it is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala sends the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam come, then punish, and the people do not accept the message of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, then Allah ta'ala does not punish immediately. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got everything according to a fixed system and a fixed time. Like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ما خلقنا السماوات والأرض, we have not created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them except for a certain purpose, and وأجل مسمى, for a specific time. So Allah ta'ala has kept a certain time. So even the punishment, and those people who are disbelievers, they turn away from whatever they have been reminded and told about. But Allah ta'ala doesn't punish them immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them chance. And sometimes in this world the punishment comes down. And definitely on the day of Qiyamah, whoever they took as gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will become their enemies. وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. They will completely deny that the people even worship them and turn to them. Whereas in this world, when the ayat of the Quran Sharif are recited to them, then these same kuffar and disbelievers are making a mock of it. And they say this is jadu, this is magic. So remember, this is the one group. On the other group, hand, you get those people who say, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ وَرَبِّ is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they got istiqamah, steadfastness. There won't be any fear for them, there won't be any grief for them. And they are the people of Jannah who will remain forever and forever in Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the rights of Allah ta'ala are so much that your parents, Allah ta'ala has given them so much of rights in this world. But your parents are your muhsin, they have done favors to you for a very small amount compared to what Allah ta'ala has done to you. Still through the rights of your parents are so much. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain rights that we have commanded insan and human beings that they must be kind to their parents. And we've learned from Hazrat, he says that there are three levels there. One is zulam and oppression. That's impossible. With one's parents, a person can never make zulam. He can never oppress them. The punishment of a person who oppresses his parents will be meted out in this world. Before leaving this world, he will see the effects of it. So never ever oppress our parents. Then, second level is called adl. Adl is just how they do to us, we must do to them, be fair to them. For parents, this is also not permissible. That for normal people, that's permissible. You are fair with people, just. Parents, the command of Allah Ta'ala is ihsan. That even if they do wrong to you, you must do good towards them. The hadith says, وَإِن ظَلَمَاكَ وَإِن ظَلَمَاكَ وَإِن ظَلَمَاكَ. Even if they oppress you, even if they oppress you, even if they oppress you, you still have to fulfill the rights of your parents. Allah Ta'ala says, the mother, she carried the child with great difficulty, and then she gave birth to him with great difficulty, and then carrying the child and breastfeeding him took a period of 30 months. How many months? And how the mother looked after the child, and the child learned to walk, and the child was falling down, and the mother taught the child how to eat, and the father was supporting the child and bringing the child up with how much of love and care. Where can a person ever fulfill the rights of his parents? So a person has to look after and fulfill the rights of his parents. If you understand the rights of our parents, then you can imagine the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has done much, much more favors to us. How much more is in the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah ta'ala says that there are two groups of people with regards to their parents. You get one group of people who've got intelligence. When they reach the age of 40, then they make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least when you reach the age of 40, you're supposed to have understanding. Otherwise, before that, normally at the age of 40, in an Islamic society, a person gets married maybe at the age of 18, 20. He has his own children. And by the time of 40, he's already a grandfather now. So he's already gone through one whole stage of life. And now he's supposed to have opened up his mind. When he saw his own children growing up, his grandchildren growing up in front of him, he understood how much of sacrifice he had to make for his children. He must understand how much his parents sacrificed for him. So at this age, at least, latest, a person is supposed to have understood. And this beautiful dua of the Quran Sharif, we should learn this dua and we should read it. Very comprehensive dua. Rabbi awzi'ni, O Allah, give me the tawfiq and ability to make shukr and thank you for your ni'mat which you have bestowed upon me and my parents. With whatever parents bounties have come to my parents, I've also got a certain share in those bounties. So Allah, give me the tawfiq to make shukr. And give me the tawfiq and ability wa ana amala salihan tardahu, to do good actions which will please, not only good actions, but actions by which you are pleased with. So just to do a good an action is not sufficient, but the action has to be, Allah has to be pleased with it. Sometimes a person can do a good action, but if Allah is not pleased with it, it's not accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala, is of no benefit. So look at this beautiful dua. Oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to do a good action, but such a good action that you must be pleased with it. And then, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh Allah, regarding my children, correct myself regarding my children. That means my children, guide them on the right path. So a person is making dua for his parents also, he's making dua for his children also. إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'm turning my attention towards you, and I'm amongst the persons who are subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, these are the people who Allah will accept their actions, what beautiful du'as they got. Allah ta'ala will forgive their sins, and you will put them amongst the people of Jannah. On the other hand, you get certain children who say to their parents, Uffil lakuma, ah, ah to you. The word uff is the smallest amount of disrespect. Mufassirin say, if there was any other word lighter than uff, Allah would have definitely mentioned it in the Quran. It's the lightest amount of disrespect. Don't ever show to your parents. And they speak ah to you. And do you promise us that we will be taken out and we're going to be resurrected in the day of Qiyamah? And they are seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, believe, have iman. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And he says, this is nothing but all fairy tales. And he's not prepared to accept the iman which his parents are teaching him. This people will be amongst the people of Jahannam. They will be completely destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It's the duty of the parents also to make a lot of dua for their children. And not only dua, but also the proper effort has to be made for one's children. It must not be happen that a person, he puts his children in the wrong environments, in the wrong places, and then thereafter he comes wailing and crying back that now my daughter has run off with somebody else. We are putting them in such environments, in the workplaces, in the universities, and all of these places, which is completely destroying the akhlaq, the character. It is destroying the iman, the haya and shame. Everything is being destroyed. And then they're sometimes running away with non-Muslim people, changing their religion also. And then the parent cries thereafter. But we, from the beginning, it was our duty to have put them on the right path, on the correct path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards righteousness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Hud alayhi salatu wa salam, when he went to the Qawm of Ad, and he warned them. But these people, unfortunately, were not prepared to accept. And then eventually Allah ta'ala's time came. They saw clouds coming and they thought this is rain coming upon them, but actually it was stones, and these people eventually were destroyed. So as we had mentioned, the theme of this subject of the surah is that Allah Ta'ala gives chance, in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give chance to the people, and then when the punishment comes down, then these people completely are destroyed. And these people are human beings, they're supposed to have accepted. Look, Allah Ta'ala says on the other hand, the jinnat who had that within themselves, they wanted to listen, they listened to the Quran Sharif, one sitting of the Quran Sharif they listened, and they immediately they went back, they accepted iman on the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they went back to their people, munzirin, as warners. They went back and they started inviting the people towards iman and Islam. So look at how they accepted iman so easily, because it was something so clear. And on the other hand, the people of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, after seeing clear signs, they didn't accept, so they eventually were destroyed. And these jinnat, they were saved by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Muhammad, or another name of the surah is Suratul Qital. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the taqabul bil kufri wal iman. There will always be a fight of kufr and iman in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people of kufr and disbelief, those who are preventing people from the path of Allah ta'ala, adhalla amalahum, we have destroyed the actions. On the other hand, you get the people of iman. They do good actions and they believe what has come down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove all of their sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct all of the conditions. Because the kuffar and disbelievers are following batil and falsehood, and the people of iman are following the truth which has come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes it happens such that because you are following the truth, you will have to make jihad against the kuffar and disbelievers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions about jihad. And when you are making jihad, sometimes you will get prisoners of war also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the masail of the prisoners of war, what must be done. And here, many of the Western people have made a lot of objections against Islam, and we also got slavery in Islam. But Hazrat Dami Rahmatullah Ali mentions from Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali, explaining that why there is something as prisoners in Islam. He said the only time you can get prisoners in Islam is during war. Now when you get hold of the prisoners of the enemies, when you defeat them in war, then there's one of four things you can do with them. Either one, you can let them go free. If you let them go free, they will be harm to the Muslim community and society, because they'll come and fight against the Muslims again. The second thing you can do, you can kill them. But this will be just shedding of blood unnecessarily, and there's no benefit coming to those people. The third thing what you can do is, you can lock them up in a jail, and keep them in jail. But then it will be a void, it will be a big weight on the government, that they will have to look after these people, and there's no benefit to the Islamic community also, no benefit to those people also. They'll become useless, and they'll be only criminals, they'll become even worse inside. So the fourth system Allah Ta'ala has made, is that they'll become slaves, and they will be under the protection of the Muslim families. The Muslim families will look after them, will serve them, they will serve the Muslim families. The Muslim families must look after them, clothe them, feed them. And the Islam gives so much of encouragement regarding slaves. And when you find some goodness in them, you must free them. You get them married, you teach them Islam. So many slaves, because of this, they became Muslims. So many slaves were freed also. So many of them became qadis, they became ulama, they became great, great leaders in the Islamic world because of the teaching of Islam. So this is the only way of which is slavery in Islam. And the Western system is that they go to countries which are free, they attack the people, they make everyone slaves, and then there's zulm and oppression which they do upon them. And even in the world today times, despite whatever the Western countries say, the amount of slavery there is, outwardly there is no name of slavery, but exploitation is another name. There's so much of slavery. The worst countries are the Western countries. From their own sources also they have written how much of slavery in China, how much of slavery in America, prostitution and child labor, all of this is slavery, but it just doesn't have the name of slavery. Whereas Islam has come to remove all of these kinds of zulm and oppression and kinds of injustices amongst people, just using the woman how you want to give them some drugs and thereafter they become your slaves, or small children you are forcing them to work 20 hours, 15 hours a day, just utilizing them so that all the factories of the world can be working. The greatest amount of exploitation and oppression which they are doing. Whereas Islam is the most humane system. What a beautiful system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to the whole of mankind. And also we find in Islam the encouragement given to free slaves in many, many amal and actions, and the great virtues of freeing slaves. Some sahaba radiallahu anhu, up to 30,000 slaves they freed in one day. So they showed it how, and then many of them became accepted Islam at their hands when they saw the akhlaq of the Muslims. So this is the beautiful system which Allah Ta'ala has created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the people of Iman, they are the ones who will enter into Jannah. And the kuffar on the other hand, they are the ones enjoying themselves in this world and eating like how animals are eating. وَالنَّارُ مَثْوَى لَهُمْ, the fire of Jahannam is their final abode. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the other hand, one side you got Jannah, and how beautiful it is. Allah has got different rivers there, water which will not become brackish, milk, the taste of it will never change, it will never go off. And you've got wine, which is very enjoyable and tasty for those who are drinking the wine. And then you've got rivers of honey, which is completely pure. All these beautiful rivers Allah Ta'ala has got. Every kind of fruit is found in Jannah. And you're getting the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one side. On the other side, can they ever be like these people who will be living forever in the fire of Jahannam? They will be given boiling hot water to drink. فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاهُمْ, and this boiling water will go through their intestines. It will cut through their intestines and destroy them. Which is the path you want to go? The part of the people of Iman or the part of the people of Kufr and disbelief who will completely destroy themselves? Say after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that a person must spend his money in the path of Allah ta'ala, give his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the people are called to spend in the path of Allah ta'ala, some of them don't realize innamal hayatu dunya la'ibu wallah. This worldly life is just a pastime and amusement. It's for a few days. Spend in the path of Allah ta'ala, give your life, your time, your wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some people who are bakhil, stingy. But remember, if you are stingy, you are only stingy for yourself, causing harm to yourself. Wallahu al-ghaniyyu wa antumul fuqara. Allah is completely independent. All of you are muhtaj in need. You can be a multi-millionaire also. You are also in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala doesn't need your money. You need to spend so that you can get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, wa in tatawallaw, if you turn away, no problem. Allah ta'ala doesn't need you. يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Allah will change you for somebody else. Another nation will come in place of you. And they will not be like you people. They will be far, far better than you. Far superior to you. And this Allah Ta'ala throughout history has changed nations and countries who were Islam was spreading from them. But when they left and they became lax and lazy, then Allah Ta'ala took other nations. Some people who were complete non-Muslims. When Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayat, and then even like the Turks, they were the worst of kuffar and disbelievers, those who were killing the Muslims. But when Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayat, then Allah Ta'ala used them. And then the Uthmani Khilafat, for 800 years they ruled the Muslim world. And what goodness they gave to the Muslim world. Allah Ta'ala can change, he doesn't need anybody at all. So if we give ourselves forward, then Allah Ta'ala will use them, utilize that nation and those people. But if we step back, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of us. Allah Ta'ala will create other people who will have that fervor within themselves, and they will go forward in life. The next surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when those people will sacrifice, then Allah will give fatah, Allah will give conquest to the Muslims. And here Allah ta'ala mentions that the fatah of Makkah, which Allah ta'ala promised Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream, he's going to Makkah Mukarramah and he's going for Umrah. And so many years they hadn't gone for Umrah, so the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they set off about 1,200 to 1,500 Sahaba radiallahu anhu. When they come to Makkah Mukarramah, the Quraysh block them. It was something not right at all. You can't stop the people going to the haram. And anyhow, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually made a treaty with them, the treaty of Hudaybiyah, and it was a peace treaty with them that they won't come now this year and the next year they'll come. And all the conditions outwardly were against the Muslim people. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as long as the haram, the house of Allah ta'ala is sanctified, I am whatever conditions they give me, as long as it doesn't break the command of Allah ta'ala, I'm going to accept their conditions. Outwardly, it was the conditions of disgrace and embarrassment. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, great Sahabi also, he was in doubt regarding this matter. He went to Hazrat Abu Bakr, he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they pacified him. And anyhow, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah Mukarramah Hudaybiyah, they were going back. They came out of their haram also. They couldn't perform Umrah that year. Sahaba were grief-stricken. Allah Ta'ala sent ayat of the Quran, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have given you an open victory. They say in the 2 years, when now the kuffar could start coming to Medina Munawara, seeing the Muslims' life. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this time to Makkah, 1,200 people or 1,400 people. But after the kuffar saw the akhlaq of the Muslims in the 2 years, about 10,000 people accepted Islam. Now when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Fatih Makkah to conquer Makkah Mukarramah, 10,000 people went with him. This was the open victory Allah had given so many people hidayat and guidance, and Islam started spreading in the four corners of the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and at the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Hudaybiyah, and he sent Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu to Makkah Mukarramah to make a deal with the kuffar, then there was a rumor that Uthman radiallahu anhu had been killed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very grief-stricken about this. How could they have killed him? So he took a pledge from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu that we will fight till death. We got no weapons, that doesn't matter. We will avenge the life of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So they took bayat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under one tree. So Allah said, I was very happy with the believers when they took bayat under the tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what was in their hearts. So Allah ta'ala is happy with them, radi. This is the great gift of Allah ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which those Sahaba radiallahu anhu, those 1,400, got in this world already, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. And then Allah ta'ala gave them many, many promises. And then eventually at the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala promised the Muslims that in the following year, soon after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that they will enter the haram with complete peace and safety. And the reason for this is that they stay with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sohbat, and they've got sifat and qualities in them. What are the qualities? They are very severe against the kuffar and disbelievers. And they have got a lot of mercy amongst themselves. And you will always see them making ruku and sajda, seeking the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are certain signs which they have got within themselves. The highest levels of iman. Al-hubbu fillah wal-bukhs fillah. Hatred for the kuffar and love amongst themselves. It's called al-hubbu fillah wal-bukhs fillah. It's min kamal al-iman. Perfection of iman. Perfection of Islam. Tarahum ruk'an sujjada. Always you see them in the outward worship, forms of worship. So they had perfection in the forms of worship. And yabtahuna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwana. Seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. They had perfection in ihsan. There are three parts of our iman, Islam, and ihsan. All three qualities are found in the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to the highest of levels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this, his help and assistance came to the Muslim people. And how did he get this? Ma'ahu. They stayed in the sohbat and company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because of this, they were blessed with these great qualities. So sohbat has a great effect. Company, a person keeps in, staying in the company of the pious and the righteous, those qualities automatically will be conveyed to a person will bring it into his life. The next surah is Surah Hujurat, that now when Islam has become dominant, then what is the akhlaq and character of the Muslims amongst themselves? How must they live? So Allah Ta'ala mentions certain adab and etiquette of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which the ulama say is not only for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but if there is the Amir of the country, or if there is an ustad, a person has got a sheikh, then there is a certain adab and etiquette he must have. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله. Do not go in front of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's command. That means one is physically, do not walk in front of your ustad, of your sheikh, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except with their permission. Or if they tell you it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit, sometimes some sahaba would be in front of him, some would be behind him, but he would tell them it was his command to go in front of him. So, and then also a person must not give his rai before Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without them asking permission, so he mustn't put it forward. And then a person must not raise his voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how you speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi amongst yourselves, you just talk to one another very informally. Don't speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that. It must not happen because of your disrespect. All of your amal can be completely destroyed and the person doesn't even know it. Disrespect, ulama say, is worse than sinning. Many times disrespect leads a person to kufr and the person doesn't even know he's out of the fold of Islam. So a person has to be very careful. And then when you go to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should not call out to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just like that, wildly. If you make sabr until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out to you without even knocking, many sahaba radiallahu anhu used to do this here, and many of the tabi'in, tabi tabi'in, they used to also do this when they used to go to their ustad's house. Sometimes 2 or 3 hours they would wait out there until the ustad would come out. They wouldn't even knock at the door of that person. Obviously if the person knocks, there's nothing wrong at all. Allah Ta'ala says, yeah, it's better for them if they were waiting for something, they have to show their talab and desire within themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O people of iman, if a person comes to you, a wrongdoer, he comes to you with any information, then always verify it properly. It must not happen because you do not verify your information that you cause harm to certain people because of ignorance. And then thereafter a person is regretful. What a mistake I made. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now mentioning how can the Muslims amongst themselves remain with love and muhabbat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says if the Muslims have to fight amongst themselves, try to make sulah amongst them. If they have to have a fight amongst themselves also, what is the laws regarding this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions six important principles for Muslims to keep their ta'alluq and connection proper with one another. Number one is, do not mock one another. Perhaps when you're mocking somebody else, that person is better than you. So how can you mock? And especially for women folk, they've got this quality. So Allah especially mentioned about the woman in this ayat here. Women also mustn't mock one another. Perhaps those women are better than them. And then number two, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not to mock one another, and do not to call one another by titles, by names. Even if somebody has done wrong, don't call him O Zani, O Sharib, O drinker of wine, O fornicator, O adulterer, O kafir. Do not call people by names. Once a person has got iman, then how evil is the name of fusuq, to use that names of fisk and kufr, etc. upon a person of iman. And especially when a person is made tawbah, then we should never remind a person of his own gunas and sins. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they do not show happiness and mock your Muslim brother. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will involve you in the same guna, in the same sin. Sometimes we find out a person has done a certain wrong, and then we mock that person, or we laugh at him, we make a joke, we backbite about him. It must not happen. Allah ta'ala afflicts us in the same. If you can have fikr and concern, you make dua for him, you try to take him out of that guna, very good. But to mock him, and to laugh at him, and to make a story like that, a person should be very careful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِسْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِ. Stay away from all many kinds of commands and thoughts, because some thoughts are sins. So as far as possible, stay away from all kinds of thoughts. Because إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Stay away from thoughts and bad thoughts, because this is the biggest liar. Where a person is just thinking, conjecturing, and this is somebody is doing something against me. This person is making jadu. This person is causing harm like this here. So that's a lot of times, and it creates so much of enmity. Sometimes you go to an amil, he says, no, this family person is making jadu upon you. Now you've got so much of hatred for that person. There's no proof at all for it. That person can't see the unseen. And now you've got, for the rest of your life, you don't want to meet those family members. And it causes so much of harm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then do not make jasusi, do not spy on one another. You go and find out internal stories, and you try to find out, this person is doing this, this person is doing this, a person should abstain from spying. Guman will lead, evil thoughts will lead a person to spying, and this will lead a person to ghibat, backbiting. Allah says, you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother. You dislike it. So how can you have to make ghibat? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh people, there's no such thing as racism in Islam. We have created you from one mother, from a male and a female. We have made different groups amongst you people, just so you can recognize one another. Not because to show pride and arrogance, I am better than you. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The ones who are the most honorable in the sight of Allah are the ones who have got the most amount of taqwa and piety. This is what you must bring, taqwa. In the sight of Allah, the one who has got taqwa, this is valuable. Then there are certain people who said, we've got iman within ourselves. Allah said, you haven't got iman still. Say, I've got Islam with me. Outwardly, I've accepted Islam. But iman hasn't entered my heart as yet. If you follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you've got true iman, who's the true believers? Those who believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They've got no doubt at all. Not the slightest amount of doubt. The iman is very strong. And then outwardly, they show it. They sacrifice with their wealth and their lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the truthful people. They are the one who can say, we've got iman within ourselves. So nobody must be happy that I've got iman. And some people come and they act like they do a great favor. We've accepted Islam. Tell them, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not show off with your Islam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has favored you, that Allah has guided you towards iman. If you are really truthful in your actions, so if you are really truthful in your claim that you are a Muslim or a believer, Allah is the one who has guided you. So it's Allah's favor upon a person. So a person must never ever have pride over himself that I've got iman within my, I'm a great believer. But a person has to continuously make effort on his iman. In Surah Qaf, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning about reality, akhirat, the life of the Yafi is a reality which is definitely going to take place. So Allah Ta'ala mentions in this great detail, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes in a khutbah, he would read this whole surah. And sometimes also for Fajr Salah, this whole surah would be recited in his Fajr Salah. And some Sahaba radiallahu anhu say, I learned it from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day. So for 1 year, I think in a khutbah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read the surah. That is where I managed to learn the surah, Surah Qaf. So anyhow, in Allah Ta'ala mentions about akhirat in the life of the year after. And similarly in Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever you have been promised is a reality, is going to take place. Certain people will be destroyed, and certain people will be given great, great honor. And the example of this is like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when the angels came to him and certain people were completely destroyed. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, which we will discuss tomorrow, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was given glad tidings because he was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the promises of Allah ta'ala are reality. Those who are the doers of good, Allah ta'ala will shower his mercies and blessings upon them in dunya also and in akhirat also. And those who are disobedient servants of Allah ta'ala, they will destroy themselves in this dunya also and the akhirat also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.